It's my privilege to welcome Reverend Kaifa here, all the way from Northeast India. That's amazing. And he's going to share a bit about what they are doing and what's happening in India. And maybe for some of you who don't know, as a church or as a church group, we really have a heart for the nations. As a, being a youngish church here, we have not focused so much on that, but some of our other churches, they send out about 180 plus, say, students and people on during the June holidays to, I think, two or three teams to India and to different places of the world. And God really wants us to have a heart for the world and not just for our spot. You know, he said, go into all the world. And so it's a great honor for us to have you here, Reverend Kaifa. And yeah, let's welcome him. Let's stand and give a hand of welcome, a South African welcome. It's awesome to have you here. And we open our hearts to you, and yeah, share your heart with us, and it's just wonderful to have you here. Amen.
Amen. God is good. All the time. Yes, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. God is good, that is why we are here today. If God is not good, we cannot be here. We will be in India, thousands of kilometers away. We will be strangers to one another. But we are here today because Jesus loves us, you know, equally. No matter whether you are African, Indian, or China, or anybody, same love, equally divided. So we are here today as brothers and sisters because he loves us equally. I thank God, and I thank our honorable pastor of this church for giving me and giving my wife and I to step into this place and to share our testimony and also to show you what we are doing in India. Together, we're in the same field. Am I right? Yes, together we are in the same field. Whose field is that? Field of Jesus. Because he has given us unfinished task to carry on. That is to go to the whole world. Go to the whole world. Not only to India. That is why today we are here. The whole world. Last year we were in Australia. My wife and I were in Australia. They invited us to share our testimony. I'm not a great preacher. But I go and share my testimony wherever I go. I have two great degrees. I hope no one has such degree here with us. Have you ever heard a man rising from dead? No. Have you ever read a Lazarus rise from the dead? Yes. And I'm a second Lazarus. Rest from the dead. And I'm going to share my testimony to you. I have two degrees. One is DMW, dead man walking. That is my first degree. DMW, dead man walking. And second degree I have this year, last year, is DMP, dead man preaching amen. Dead man preaching. I have these two degrees. And I'm with you here. I want to share my testimony, how God saves my life, and why I'm here today. Just to acknowledge our heartfelt thanks and gratitude to our pastor for giving us this privilege to share my testimony. I would like to present a souvenir. This is called a Bible bag, Naga House, made by Naga. I'm a Naga. Indian, there are so many races. And I'm from Nagaland. So I would like to present this Bible back. He may kindly carry his Bible wherever he goes. Wherever he goes. So may I call upon our pastor to come out, come forward. Amen. God is good. Say everybody all the time. All the time. All the time, God is good. Amen. I love South African because I love to see cricket, you know? I'm not a good player, but I love to see cricket and footballer. I'm not a footballer, but I love. I would see the whole night football, you know? I was watching the World Cup soccer here. And on the night when first semifinal was played on 7 July, am I right? My vehicle was stolen by thief. I was watching at 12 midnight the soccer semifinal, the first soccer semifinal. And the thief broke open my iron gate and stolen my new car. Whoa. Anyway, God is good all the time. So I forgave the thief and God provided me again a new, brand new. Because he is good all the time. Amen. Just before I share my testimony, I would like to show some few PowerPoint photos. Yes, my wife and I have been working as a missionary in Assam for the last 30 years. And I want to show some of the photos, what we have been doing for the orphans and slums children and beggars children and planting churches. Yeah, the total population of Northeast India is about 55 million. India is one over 1 billion, but our field, assigned field, is 55 million people. Our assignment is to reach out all 55 million people. The percentage of religion in our area, Northeast India, is like this. Christian, 3.5, Hindu, 45, Muslim, 40, Buddhist, 10, and others, 1.5. About 95 out of total population lives in the village. Only 5% live in the urban. About 60% out of total population cannot read and write. Means they are illiterate. Next, please. Yes. About 98% of the churches are in the remote villages. About 95% of the churches cannot support himself. Some of the most urgent needs of the people are training on discipleship, livelihood training, self-dependent, because we have to meet all 95% self-dependent. You know, they cannot always depend on us. We cannot pay their pastor's salary. So we have to teach them how to live, livelihood training. To care the uncared children, orphans and slums children, and beggars children. Vocational training for the youth, needy youth. There are thousands of youth who are unemployed. We have to teach them how to live. We have to teach them, give them vocational training. Beggars and slums ministry. And training of trainers. More harvest force for the harvest field. Next, please. This is India, and this Chicken Neck, this is our assigned field, 55 million people. Next, please. This is Northeast India. Northeast India, 55 million people live here, and this is our assigned field. Next, please. This is Nagaland, my hometown, my capital town, yes. And here is the cemetery. Here, the Second World War ended here. You know, Second World War ended in Nagaland. And this is the very place. Thousands and thousands of soldiers were killed. Next, please. This is one of the church in Nagaland. Next, please. Yes, it is in a cemetery. Thousands of people died in our capital. The Second World War was stopped right there. The end of the Second World War was here. So dearer to us than words can tell was the husband and daddy we loved so well. This was written by the British in 1944. Next, please. This is how we train the pastors and church leaders. These are the pastors and church leaders. Training season. Yes, next, please. A Muslim convert. A Muslim man came to see the healing crusade. He was not a Christian then. After seeing the signs and wonders, he accepted Christ. And through him, the whole village, his community, about 2,000 people, came to Christ. Amen. Next, please. Yes. So after that, he under training. He has finished the training. Now he is the pastor there. Next. This is also a training. Not very clear, of course. Next, please. A Hindu priest accepted Christ because, you know, how many of you know Maureen O'Neill? Maureen O'Neill? Yes. When Maureen O'Neill came to Assam, India, and conducted healing crusade, he brought his daughter for a healing, and his daughter was healed. He was Hindu priest, high priest. And then he accepted Christ and was baptized. Amen. Next. A Muslim convert. I tell you, there are thousands of Muslims coming to Christ. And this is an old man, 80 plus, who was also baptized. Next, please. Yes, this is how we pray and baptize. Next, please. These are the Muslims. You know, line up after the baptism. Next, please. Yes, these are the Muslims who came to Christ. Next, please. These are also, see, those after their baptism, they go through training so that they become pastor and church leader. There is no trained pastor, no bachelor of theology, no. No bachelor of divinity, no. Just basic. Training. This is training center. Next, please. Yes, a new convert presenting testimony in songs. Next, please. Yes, the same thing, presenting testimonies in song. Next, this is one church in Assam, small church. Next, please. This is also church in Arunachal, in China border. Next, please. You know, here is one sister killing two brothers, one killing and another. Her parents, their parents were washed away by the mud, you know, landslide. And I was conducting a conference like this, and he heard that there is a man of God preaching. So he came walking about 80 kilometers, carrying his brother and another one, holding in her hand. To see me, so that I will give them shelter. That is how the orphans coming to me, to see me walking 50 kilometers, 80 kilometers, 100 kilometers, and I bring them to children home. We have an orphanage home. We need your prayer support. Next, please. This is how our children are working. This is the orphanage home. Children working together, carrying firewood to cook their food. Next, please. This is the children's home, girls' dorm constructed last year. You know, 2008, I came to East London. Some of you donated some money. So we constructed the girls' dormitory for orphan girls. Next, please. Yeah, this is the building we completed last year. Next, please. Yes, you will see in the brochure one testimony. A girl, Bonam, called Bonam, whose parents and sisters were washed away by the flood. And she, only in the family, was safe. And she is with us. Next, please. Yes, this is also slum school. Next, slum school. Free slum school. This is called Slums and Beggars School. Yes, next, please. Yes, these are a Bangladeshi future church. You know, a lot of Muslims and Bangladeshis are coming to our land, multiplying double, triple, four times a year. And we are struggling with them, teaching them. Instead of challenging them with the missile, we challenge them with the love of Christ. And these are the new, future. These are the future of our church. Next, please. Yes, an orphan know where to go. Are you the one today to pray for them? Yes, next, please. These are beggars and slums children. Yes. Next, this is school, the slum school. This is how in our children home, children are eating food. Next, please. This is how we rear chicken to support the orphanage home. Next, please. Yes, our girls orphans studying. Next, please. Yes. Next. Yes, they work together like this. Yes, please. Next. There is no running water, only carrying water. So they carry water together. Next, please. Yeah, this is a boys' home. Next. This is the house we completed last year. Next. Yeah, the same thing. A Buddhist monk in China border accepted Christ and was baptized. Buddhist monk. You know, you like a beer, you know. Next. Also a Hindu high priest. Next. This is also a baptism in Arunachal. Next, please. A training center. Church leader rededicating their life to go forward, to give their life for the Lord. Next, please. We have a rubber farm. To support our children home, we also have a rubber farm. Our children working in the rubber farm. Next, please. Yes, a chicken farm. This is a beautiful snow mountain. Beyond this, there are million Buddhists living without Christ. I tell you, last year, 7 of them have accepted Christ and we have baptized. Out of million, only 7 have accepted Christ. And we have breakthrough this mountain to reach them with the gospel of Christ. Next, please. This is persecution, you know. India is not easy field. We cannot worship like this in so many places. There are Hindus, extremist Hindus, burning our churches, burning our belongings, burning the believers. Next, please. Yes, this is how the church was burned down. Next, please. This is how the properties, cycle and properties were burned down. The armies are guarding. Next, please. This is how the churches were burned down. Next, please. Yeah, the vehicles, all this destroyed. Children, no place to live, so they are eating outside. Their parents being persecuted. Next, please. Yes, the houses of those believers destroyed by Hindu extremists. Some Christian leaders gathered together to pray. Next, please. Yes, next, please. This girl was burned alive, but by God's grace, she was saved. Next, please. Yes, next. This is how the churches were burned down. Next, please. Yeah, next, please. This is how. Next, please. This is how the vehicles and properties were burned down. all these people become homeless because their houses were all destroyed. Next, please. You see, no place to shelter. So, an old man eating under his umbrella. Next, please. Yes, next, please. All these are persecution. This is a woman burned alive, you know. She and her husband and two children. When the Hindu extremists asked them to denounce Christ, she said, no, I cannot deny Christ. So she was burned to death alive. But her husband and two sons backslided. They said, yes, from today, we will not believe Jesus. So this, her husband and two sons were saved. But this woman was burned alive, burned to death. This is how the persecution we face in India, in Assam. Next, please. Thanks to all well-wishers and prayer supporters who have met the success of this mission field. Now I have one 5 minutes video that is all about cyclone. Thousands and thousands people were washed away by the cyclone flood. And I would like to show you this. Children, and yes. Sound, please. This is how the cyclone, the heavy flood, destroyed our land. You can see the dead bodies. Our parents all lost. These are some of the church members. The children left alone. All parents died. His parents lost and he's crying. The whole family, children and wife, died. And he left alone. He was left alone, sorry. These are dead bodies washed away by the flood, mighty flood. Thousands and thousands of people died. The whole family died, leaving only the husband, only the father. Okay, shall we stop there? Yes, this is the sign that the Lord is coming soon. Jesus is coming soon. I hope you have read Matthew chapter 24. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus speaks about his return to this world. And all these are signs of his coming. We are being warned in Naglen that there will be an earthquake. Very bad earthquake. One of the worst earthquakes in the world. Very soon, we do not know when. We are being warned. Our people are being trained every day how to rescue the people if anything happens. Yes, Jesus talks about the earthquake, the cyclone, the flood, the unnatural disaster. And these are the signs of his coming. We do not know. Maybe tonight. If he comes tonight. If he comes right now. Are you prepared to see him? Are you prepared to be with him? Do you think your name written in the book of life, as it is recorded in Revelation chapter 20, verse 12. Whatever you do on this earth will be recorded on the book of life. Your good deeds are all recorded in the book of life. And one day, like we have seen the PowerPoint, your deeds on the earth, on this world, will be shown. You cannot say, I have not done. Yes. Are we all prepared to see him? I thank God so much for sending me here to see such a lovely people, a chosen dress, a chosen people here. Mark chapter 16, beginning to read from verse 15, talks about the power of Jesus given to all of us. And he said unto them, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believed and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believed not shall be damned. And these signs shall follow them that believe. In my name shall they cast out devils. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly poison, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall receive healing. Amen. God is good all the time. Yes, God is good all the time. My mommy told me that I was raised from the dead when I was just 2 years old. Some of you have heard about my testimony. Just I was 2 years old. One day I was dead. And my mommy called pastor to pray. Because Jesus has given a power to pastor, to all of us. If we pray in the name of Jesus, the dead will rise to life. Amen. That is why a dead man walking. Have you seen a dead man walking? No. Here is Kaifa, a dead man walking. Yes. That is why the power is given. Power is given. Because the power of given to American missionary. In 18th century, American missionary came to our land. to Nagaland. I don't know how they came. We were headhunters. Our grandfathers told us. At that time, we were headhunters. We were naked. 18th century. And my mommy told me, my mommy being the first convert from our village, one of the first converts. She always admired the American missionaries. So my mommy, see, I was dead when I was 2 years old. But my mommy said, no, we will not bury him, but we will give this to the Lord. And exactly, I was raised from death. That is what my mommy told me. And so when I grown up, at the age of 7, my mommy always told me, I can still remember, Kaifa, you were raised from the dead. You become a missionary like a white man, like a white skin. Some of you, not dark skin. My mommy admired the white skin. My mommy was very white, like some of you, not black as me. She admired, and she said, Kaifa, you must go to the place where there is no Christian. Don't be a pastor in the church. Go to the land where there is no Christian. So I grown up. I was so excited to become a missionary. I knew one day I would become a missionary. And as I grow old, at the age of 25, I was sent to Assam, to a remote place where there was not even a single Christian. No missionary had ever landed there. I went there in a strange place, living under the tree, no place to live. So I live in the jungle. I live under the tree and preach gospel. For 19 years, I lived there. 19 years. I had a lot of persecution. People came to kill me. 500 young people came to kill me. Can you imagine? But when they approached me, when they came near to my place, they saw thousands army guarding me. Thousands army guarding me. So they went back one by one. And later on, some of them accepted Christ and they narrated the story to me. Kaifa, we came to kill you. We came with bows and arrows and gun to kill you. You were alone, but we 500 came to kill you. But as we approached your house, your place, we saw thousands army guarding you. So we went back. Amen! God is good all the time. God is good. That is how my wife and I continue to serve in Assam, away from our hometown, for 19 years. Now we live in our hometown, but we still are working. We are working in Assam, reaching out. We have planted about 500 churches. And I tell you, those Muslims and Hindus, thousands are coming every year. They are coming, they are saying, we will not become a Christian, but we will believe Jesus Christ as our personal Savior. I said, yes, that is what I'm looking for. Because maybe some Christians are very harsh to them. So I said, yes, you can become believer of Christ. You can accept Jesus as your personal Savior. That is how I'm baptizing them, thousands in a year. My dear brothers and sisters, young people, if you are called today, like Isaiah chapter 6, verse 8, when God said, who shall go for me and whom shall I send? Isaiah said, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Here am I, Lord, send me." Will you be the one to say, "Here am I, Lord, send me. Send me to India. Send me to Africa. Send me to South Africa, in the corner of South Africa." Or, "Here am I, Lord. I will pray for the missionaries. I will support for the missionaries. I will encourage for the missionaries." It is not necessary for all of us to go, but you can be a praying missionary. You can be a supporting missionary. You can be an encouraging missionary. If God is calling you tonight, will you say, "Yes, here am I, Lord, send me"? I tell you, there are thousands and thousands, millions of people perishing every day, dying every day. There are thousands, millions of people dying every day without Christ. And God has given us a power to go and preach, a command to go and preach, to finish his unfinished task. And here you are. Will your church be a living church? I tell you, sending church is a living church. That is what Pastor Oswald Smith said in his book. Sending church is a living church. Giving church is a living church. Praying church is a living church. Will you make your church a living church, a missionary church, a praying church, a supporting church? Yes, as we have seen in the PowerPoint, the mighty flood washed away thousands of people. We are being warned in so many ways. So many ways. Maybe global problem. What are the global problem now? I clearly remember we always talk in India about global warming, which is one of the most dangerous, most for all of us, a threat to all of us. Very scary. Global warming. And another, maybe, economic crisis. Global economic crisis. Such a threatening. Maybe another global problem. Maybe HIV. We talk so much about HIV in India. We warn our young generation about HIV. We organize a lot of training, awareness. These are very scary. What makes you so scared? Maybe you may have another level. It may not be global warming. May not be HIV. May not be flood. May not be economic crisis. Your level of conflict, your level of problem may be different. Are you sick, but no one knows? Are you struggling with your sickness? I was struggling last year. You know, I got a cancer, stomach cancer last year. And I struggled when doctor told me, "Kaifa, you have got a stomach tumor. You have got to cut half of your stomach immediately." I surrendered to God. "Oh, God, for me to live is Christ and to die is gain. If I die today, I will be gain. I will gain because I will see Jesus face to face and I will be with him. But what about my children? What about my future? What about my churches?" I cried and cried and cried. And then the Lord spoke to me in my dream. "Kaifa, you have another 35 years to live on this earth." Amen. God is good. I was operated. And there was no cancer cell. And my tumor, it was proof by medical science. God healed me. Amen. Are you worried? Are you worried? Jesus can do anything. Jesus can do anything because signs and wonders will come. Are you worried? Are you worried because you have no job? Are you worried because your business is flop because of economic crisis? Are you worried you cannot go further, your study, your degree? Remember, you are worried. But if you are son of God, if you are a child of God, He is much, much worried than you. He is much, much worried than you. He cries when you cry. God cries when we cry. Will you believe? Yes, because we are His children. Do you think you are zero now? You are hopeless. No, you are not hopeless. God is calling you. God needs your service. God needs your prayer support. God is calling you. You know, I have one man in Nagaland. I will conclude this with his testimony. One young man. He was a rich man. But his both kidneys damaged, lost. And his both kidneys were transplanted away from hometown. When his first kidney was transplanted, his father died. Nobody told him. When he returned, no father. Second kidney transplanted, his mother died. Nobody told him. When he returned home, no mother. He was weeping. And third time, again fell the both kidneys. So he transplanted third time. When he returned, his country work, all business shut down. His friend never visited him. Everybody abandoned him. Everybody left him. He became zero. Zero. Just about to die. Very bad health. No parents. No relatives. No friends. No business. She cried out and said, Jesus, here am I. I have no friends. I have no parents. I have no business. I am now zero. Jesus, you are my God. As he turned to Jesus, slowly, 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 Jesus lifted him up. Now, he is an international contractor, holding a big private company. He became billionaire. From zero to billionaire. His kidneys are functioning very well. You know? His kidneys are functioning now very well. Jesus restored him, restored his health, restored his business. You may be the one this evening. Jesus may be calling you to restore your job, restore your business, restore your health. Will you say, here am I, Lord? Shall we all bow down our head for prayer? May I request our pastor to come forward. Yes. As we bow down our heads, may I request our pastor to pray for all of us and take the rest of the time. May God bless all of us. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Reverend Kaifa. Father, we thank you. God, we thank you for very challenging images, God, that we saw. God, we thank you that you are the God of life and death. You are the God of every facet of our beings, Lord God. And Father, we pray, God, for Reverend Kaifa. Lord, we pray for his wife. God, we pray for the church there, God. We pray for these orphans, God. We pray for challenges that we do not know. And so, God, in the name of Jesus, Father, we pray that you would bless them. God, we pray that you'd provide for them. God, we pray that you would lead them, God. Father, we pray for India. We pray for Northeast India, Lord. We pray, God, for those 55 million people. And we can truly say you love each and every one of them. You know the number of hairs on their heads. You know their fingerprints. Each of those little children, God, you know. You know what they're going through, Lord. So, Father, we pray for your church to awaken, God. We pray for your church all over the world to arise. We pray, God, that we who are so blessed will realize why we are so blessed. God, you haven't blessed us so that we can have a second house and a third house and four cars, long holidays just for ourselves. You haven't blessed us with more than enough so that we could just have it for ourselves. You have blessed us, God, so that we can be blessings. You've blessed us, God, so that we can give of ourselves, of our prayers, of our time. God, I'm sure many of us are saying thank you. Thank you that we can go to school. Thank you we can read and write. Thank you, God, that we do have, most of us do have jobs, opportunities, friends, loved ones. God, may we get your heart to live not for self, but to live for you, to live for your heart. God, may we not be overwhelmed with a need. May we be overwhelmed with your greatness. May we be overwhelmed with your goodness. May we be overwhelmed with your mercy. We do serve a good God. So God, we pray for a stirring in our hearts to become the blessings you've called us to be. To see the need and do our little bit wherever you've placed us. So God, we pray that in our midst, God, you'd raise us up to become men and women who are available for your work, available for what you want to do. Our God reigns, even when it doesn't feel like it. He reigns. Just minister to our hearts. minister to our hearts, God. A reprioritization of our lives. We're worrying about insignificant things. Realize now, just wonderful to listen to this, to see the pictures, and then realize having church here is amazing, having opportunities are amazing, having an education is amazing. God hasn't given that to us for ourselves, He's given it so we can bless somebody. That's when life happens. So someone encourage us in this week and the weeks to come. Let's forget about self. Let's focus on the heart of Christ and love somebody. That's our greatest, in a sense, our greatest privilege, to love somebody, to care about somebody else, despite all the busyness of life. Reverend Kaifa is going to be on Tuesday evening at what time? 6:30 for 7. We need to get tickets. If you want to join the dinner, just come and speak to Gay here in front. When I saw those pictures of the dead people, I just realized how quick life can pass away. It can end in a moment. As a Christian, death is not the end. Death isn't sad for a Christian, because our names are written in heaven. So someone encourage us this evening. Allow this to cause us to ponder our lives. To ponder how we're investing our time. To ponder how we're investing our money. Ponder how we invest our gifts and our talents. We are a blessed people. Do you realize that? We are blessed. The greatest blessing in life is to know Jesus. Hallelujah. I just want to end off in prayer. Father, we thank you for this evening, God. We thank you that you are stirring our hearts by your Spirit, God. We pray you bless Reverend Kaif and his wife during this week, 2 weeks that they are here. Bless every meeting. May truly be your word spoken, God, through them. We honor them and we commit them into your hands. We pray, God, that they will know your presence. God, we pray that they will know the goodness of God in every circumstance. Lord, we pray you give them the eyes of faith to see, despite what they see with their physical eyes, may they see with the eyes of their hearts the greatness of God. God, we pray that missionaries will flood that nation. God, we pray that you raise up men and women with courage who are willing to lay down their lives for Christ, because you lay down your life for us. Lord, we pray that you would send. We pray that you'd provide. We pray, God, for the church in India to arise. The blood of the martyrs would cause the grace of God to flood India. God, you changed the world 2,000 years ago. You can change India. And we pray for that, God, that you would transform India one soul at a time. And hundreds at a time, thousands at a time. God, we pray for those Muslims. We pray for those Buddhists. God, we pray for your kingdom to come in India. In the name of Jesus. Let's maybe do that for a few minutes. Can you take the hand of the person next to you? Let's pray for India. Let's pray that God would raise up people. Let's pray that God would send resources. Let's pray that God would save mightily. If you want, you can turn your chairs. I don't know who you want to. It doesn't matter. Okay, let's take a few minutes. Just where you're sitting, just pray. Let's pray for India. Let's pray for Reverend Kaifa and his wife. Let's pray for the family, the orphanage.